Welcome to Deep Dive. This episode is entirely AI-generated, including our voices you're hearing. Today's show is brought to you by Culture Lens, a fictional translation app that captures regional dialects and cultural context, though Culture Lens itself is completely made up. Some details we discuss might be AI hallucinations, so please double-check anything important to you. I'm Marco, and I teach European history. What fascinates me about Italy is this paradox: a country that didn't exist until 1861, but somehow has one of the most recognizable cultural identities in the world.
I'm Sofia, and I study migration patterns and social cohesion. What draws me to Italy is how it's both a source and destination of massive population movements. My own grandparents left Calabria for Argentina, then my family came back. That circular story feels very Italian to me.
That's exactly what I mean. Your family story spans continents, but there's something distinctly Italian about it. How do we make sense of that when Italy as a political entity is so young?
I think we have to start with the fact that Italians were living before Italy existed. The great emigration waves began in the 1860s, right after unification. So Italian identity was partly forged in diaspora.
Right. But even that assumes there was something to be Italian about before the state existed. I mean, someone from Sicily and someone from Venice in 1850 had more in common with foreigners than with each other in many ways.
True, but they shared something, maybe the Roman inheritance, the Catholic framework, similar patterns of city-states and local loyalties. When my great-grandfather left Cosenza, he didn't call himself Italian, but other people in Buenos Aires did.
That's fascinating. Identity imposed from outside. But let's dig into what he was actually living. Southern Italy, in the 1880s, was essentially a colonial economy within the new Italian state. The North was industrializing. The South was being extracted from.
Exactly, and that created the first great internal migration crisis. Before my family went to Argentina, they probably first went to Turin or Milan. Italy has always been a country of people in motion, internally and externally.
That motion was often forced. Unification wasn't just political theater. It involved real violence. The Brigantaggio in the South was essentially a civil war that lasted decades. We're talking about maybe 100,000 deaths.
Which is why I think migration is so central to understanding Italian identity. It's not just economic, it's often been about survival, whether it's avoiding conflict, escaping poverty, or later fleeing fascism.
But here's what confuses me about your framework. If Italian identity is so tied to migration and displacement, how do we account for the incredible localism? Campanilismo, loyalty to your bell tower. That seems like the opposite of migrant flexibility.
I think they're connected, actually. When you're forced to leave, what you carry with you becomes more precious. Italian migrants didn't just take recipes and language, they took very specific local traditions and amplified them abroad.
You're saying displacement strengthens local identity rather than weakening it. That's counterintuitive. I would expect migration to create more cosmopolitan, less parochial people.
Think about Little Italy neighborhoods. They're often more intensely Italian than contemporary Italy. My relatives in Buenos Aires speak a Calabrian dialect that's barely heard in Calabria anymore. Migration can freeze identity in time.
It's a really important point. But it also raises questions about authenticity. If Italian Americans or Italian Argentines are preserving traditions that Italy itself has moved beyond, what does that say about who gets to define Italian identity?
It suggests that Italian identity was always plural, always contested. There's no pure version to be authentic to. Even within Italy, regional identities often matter more than national ones.
That brings us back to the political question. How did such fragmented identities coalesce into something that could support a nation state? What held it together through two world wars, fascism, and massive social transformation?
I think it's precisely because Italian identity was flexible and layered that it survived those traumas. You could be Italian and anti-fascist, or Italian and socialist, or Italian and Catholic in ways that might have been harder in more rigid national cultures.
But fascism tried to create exactly that kind of rigid national culture. Mussolini's regime was obsessed with defining authentic Italianness, the Roman inheritance, Mediterranean destiny, all of that.
And it largely failed, right? Even at its height, fascism had to accommodate regional variations, local elites, different economic systems. It couldn't actually homogenize Italy the way it wanted to.
True, but it did create lasting changes. The demographic campaigns, the attempt to stop emigration and create internal colonization in Africa. Those weren't just propaganda. They shaped how Italians moved and where they settled.
Fair point, but I'd argue that the more lasting impact was how fascism's failure discredited centralized nationalism. Post-war Italy became more comfortable with fragmentation, with multiple identities coexisting.
Which brings us to contemporary Italy and the immigration question. How do we understand Italy's relationship with new arrivals from Africa and elsewhere, given this history of being an emigrant nation?
This is where it gets really complex. Italy has become a destination for the same kinds of economic migration that once drove Italians abroad. But the receiving society doesn't necessarily remember itself as migrant.
And there's a generational divide, isn't there? The grandchildren of emigrants might have very different attitudes toward immigration than people whose families never left their villages.
Exactly. Plus, the regional variations are huge. Northern Italy, which once received southern Italian migrants, now receives international migrants. The patterns are similar, but the politics are completely different.
What's interesting is how this connects to European integration. Italy was a founding member of what became the EU, partly because Italians were already comfortable with layered identities, local, national, and potentially supranational.
Right, but EU membership also enabled new forms of mobility. Young Italians can now migrate to Berlin or London in ways that parallel their great-grandparents' movements to New York or Sao Paulo.
So we're seeing a new chapter in the Italian migration story, but this time it's educated youth leaving rather than rural laborers. The brain drain versus the brawn drain.
And it's happening alongside immigration from the global south, Italy simultaneously a source and destination of migration, which is historically unusual but might actually be very Italian.
That paradox again. But I'm wondering if we're romanticizing the fluidity. Political movements, like Lega Nord, have gained power by promising to fix identity in place, to resist both immigration and emigration.
True, but even Lega's regionalism is a form of fragmented identity. They're not really offering unified nationalism. They're offering northern separatism, which is actually very consistent with Italy's localist traditions.
So you think contemporary populism is more continuous with Italian political culture than it appears? That's a sobering thought.
I think Italian political fragmentation has always contained both creative and destructive possibilities. The same decentralization that enabled cultural richness also enabled organized crime and corruption.
Which suggests that Italy's future depends partly on which aspects of this fragmented heritage get emphasized. The cosmopolitan localism or the defensive particularism.
And that might depend on external pressures if European integration continues. Italy's experience with multiple identities could be an asset. If it breaks down, the centrifugal forces might dominate.
What strikes me is how much this conversation has shifted my thinking. I started focusing on political chronology, but you've convinced me that migration patterns might be more fundamental to understanding Italian identity.
And you've pushed me to think more about how political structures shape those migration patterns. Unification wasn't just a backdrop. It actively created the conditions that made emigration necessary.
So maybe the key insight is that Italian identity has always been relational, defined not just by who's included, but by patterns of movement, displacement, and return. It's an identity shaped by leaving and coming back.
Which makes contemporary immigration both a challenge and a continuation. Italy is being changed by new arrivals, but that's also very Italian, to be constantly changing through encounters with mobility.
Question we're left with is whether that historical flexibility will be enough to navigate current pressures. Can a nation built on fragmentation hold together in an era of global mobility and populist backlash?
And maybe that's the wrong question. Maybe the real question is what forms of fragmentation serve human flourishing and which ones don't. Italy's story suggests that unity and diversity aren't necessarily opposed,